Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, departmental officials. Thank you for the opportunity given to chair the portfolio committee for the day, and you've all been welcomed. Our agenda today is on the quarterly report and the department by the acting DG. Is going to lead us on the first report.
Thank you, Chair. I am accompanied by my two colleagues. Mr. Cheney was appointed as acting show in the department.
Thank you. In the meantime, time, because we have the document at our disposal, can we continue? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, as indicated, the departmental, the overall achievement for the departmental non-financial in terms of the targets in the APP for the 14-15 financial year, the one just concluded, is 65%. Out of 127 targets that were planned for the period under review, 83 targets were achieved and 44 were not achieved. And that will find its way in relation to the annual report. Chair, that just gives us an indication of the targets in terms of the organizational structure in relation to the six branches within the department. That's the administration, delivery framework, strategy and planning, the program management unit, the office of the chief financial officer, the office of the chief operations officer. That gives us indication of just the performance and as well as the matters related to financial allocations for each of those. Chair, just wants to indicate that in relation to the targets, the 65%, that was an issue that both acting DGM minister did not find pleasing, and it's a matter that is receiving attention, and we will extend some of those issues as well. Expenditure of our program, that was the expenditure, particularly in relation to the department, the variances there. In relation to that, there were issues related to staff expenditure and the budget structure. You'll see the budget structure differs from the organizational structure, and two of the branches are incorporated into that budget structure. So that's what the financial performance in terms of the budget structure looks like. The communication and outreach program.
I'm so glad that the presentation, which has been short, the one that was on the screen, I know they said there was a difference. But if you see, which you see the house is around July 9th, according to what we have here, we have one trade by the very short in the first year, it's only one. It is not the first one, it's the second one. It should have been the second year, brother.
But are we all looking at the
fourth quarter and the first quarter.
We are starting with the first quarter. Looking at the fourth quarter? The first presentation. Thank you.
Chair, just we're looking at the fourth quarter of 14-15, so this is, and then there's the second presentation, which is the first quarter of the 15-16. Thanks, Chair. In relation to the communication and outreach program, Chair, as the committee is aware, the department participated in various community outreach programs, particularly campaigns, face-to-face communication, as well as partnerships in terms of rollouts with municipalities, as well as provincial departments and entities of the department. Just an indication, Chair, we've taken one aspect of the departmental outreach program, and that's in relation to the Deputy Minister's outreach program, and just get an indication of some of the programs and outreach that the Deputy Minister, in conjunction with the department, undertook during the period. Chair, we then go on to the delivery agreement. And that's outcome 8. What we need to indicate is that the progress as indicated is 31 December because there's a time lag of a quarter. So the outcome 8, because of the cabinet reporting, during the fourth quarter, we report one quarter behind. So this gives us an indication. So in the next presentation, committee members and yourself, you can get the presentation up until the 31st of March, which then goes into the next cabinet cycle. Chair, we're all aware that sort of just the brief background around outcome 8, Minister together with the President has signed for the human settlement outcome deliverables in terms of MTSF, and that's referred to as outcome 8. And as indicated, it provides for those three specific areas of focus. That's providing poor households with adequate housing in better living environments, supporting the development and functionality of equitable residential property market, and then also improving institutional capacity and coordination for better spatial targeting. Chair, the progress in relation to as of 31 December, the 2019 target in relation to the MTSF is 745,000 households to be provided with adequate housing through subsidy and affordable housing segments. The performance in relation to the department for the period was 86,772 PNG houses, including flats and CRUs, and that represents 58.2% of the annual target. I'll come back to that in a later slide, just indicate some of the issues that we've raised. And we've said that 58% of the annual target, not 58% of the overall fire target, is 58.2% of the annual target, which to us as the department and minister expressed a particular concern around our ability to be able to meet this and stringent coherence measures need to be taken to resolve that. In terms of improved housing conditions for households living in informal settlements, the target was 750,000. The overall target until 2019 is supposed to be 750,000 households upgraded. The performance, particularly in relation to this target, was 49,763 households in informal settlements were provided with services in terms of phase two. That's out of the Human Settlements Development Count. And then out of the USDG, out of the HSDG was 31,495 households. In terms of the USDP, it was 18,268. That's the money that we provide to the municipalities that has delivered 18,268,000 households with water, sanitation, and secure tenure. And that represents 33.2% of the annual target. I've emphasized those two because they represent particularly a key focus not only of the department but also government as a whole. Those two segments of outcome 8 in terms of 745 and 750 represent particularly important because they represent the poor as well as the working poor. The third objective is in relation to the DFIs and the loans issued by banks. The target, the overall target is 582,438 loans to be issued over the period. For the period under review, the target was 116,448 and the performance was 60,580, which represents 52%. The targets indicated here are particularly what in terms of the MTSF represents functionality of human settlements. To ensure and improve spatial, social, and economic integration. One of the big criticisms against the department as well as government that we both poorly located, poorly spatially integrated, and poorly economically integrated settlements. The target is 150 projects, and that would represent 50% of all projects. The 50 catalytic projects that must be implemented demonstrated comprehensive integrated systems. The performance is that in relation to this, there's 150 proposals that we received, both from the provincial and municipal departments, as well as the private sector, and 22 are located in the mining funds. There's an assessment tool and the target in relation to this resolve this is that by 15th of September this year, there will be 77 projects to be announced by a minister. The investment decisions, the objective in relation to the investment decisions of objective 2 on that slide, in relation to human settlements to improve spatial efficiency. The spatial planning framework has been developed and adopted by MINDEC, and this will be now expanded into the spatial investment framework. The whole objective of this chair and the committee is to ensure that there's better integration, particularly in relation to human settlements and housing at a national and provincial level into municipal spatial. And it is envisaged that this special framework will be submitted to Cabinet by the end of this month. The the issues around accreditation, the number of, the objective here is to improve or increase the number of metros accredited with the housing function, the number of municipalities accredited with level 2, as well as a post-monitoring accreditation support program. In relation to this, the approach to accreditation has been revised to link it with the performance of each accredited municipality and collaborative approach towards delivery of human settlements amongst three spheres of government. Chair, there has been some criticism around this, but if you look at what the performances are, particularly in relation to the fourth quarter, particularly in relation to the 14-15, you'll understand the objective by both minister together with the department and supported by the committee is that we've got to be able to link performance to accreditation. We cannot have accreditation for accreditation's sake that you have money. If that accreditation does not result in improved performance, if it does not result in an increase in terms of households benefiting, then I don't think the issue is just about transferring money, but it's transferring money and holding municipalities and provinces accountable for what they do. And I think the committee, it'd be interesting to hear what was said. I think based on what we present and some of the figures that will come later on, you'll see why there's this link between performance and accreditation. The progress in relation to the number of housing units or subsidy market provided, as indicated, Chair, the target was in relation to the number of households, the target, annual target is 560, the performance is 68,000 of the annual target. So that represents 60% of the annual target of 112,000. Then we've outlined, and in the outcome 8, there's a couple of policy issues, particularly around the green paper, which the first draft has been completed. There's a corporatist policy as per mandate of government, and then also the implementation guidelines for the program people's housing process. There's a comprehensive rental policy that is to be developed. The framework has been developed. And that is awaiting approval to by the MEC and technical amendment. The strategy around the mine workers housing, there's a strategy that has been developed in the period under review, and then also in relation to what are the implementation plans. The third bullet point there on that slide is quite an important one. It represents the number of affordable housing rental opportunities and the performance for the period is 1,672 years for delivery, but the target was 5,400. So we missed that target. It's 31%. Whilst 1,590 community residential units, which represents 79.5% of the target, annual target of 2,000. This has been a particular concern. This is a particular concern and at a later stage there will be comments made by the acting DC on this. But you'll see it's again performance related to money, related to value for money, and related to target. So it's not a particularly a picture that we can say we're proud of. Because as well, located land released, the target for 2019 is 10,000, up until 2019 is 10,000. For the period 14-15, 2,294 hectares were have been rezoned, and this is a target which we think is pretty much in hand. Then we on this side, of particular importance is the second one. The second one, which is the number of existing informal settlement uses. The objective is that there will be 780 informal settlements to have been assessed, of which we probably indicate that 450 have detailed settlement plans. The overall target for the period is one which will later discuss. The single BF fund. I'm belaboring these points here because this is particularly important because it represents the agreement between Minister and the President, but also overall in terms of government outcome, it contributes to the overall performance that is measured. The single DFI, the action that we need to as a human settlement set up, the single development finance institution, the revised business case was completed in terms of the department, and there has been the development of a policy foundation as at 31st of March. The action related to increasing the volume of home loans granted by private sector and GFIs to households in the affordable sector. We in terms of this, 3,522 mortgage home loans were granted to people earning less than 15,000. The National Department and GDME, in collaboration with relevant stakeholders, are also in the process of identifying credible resources for information. So this is particularly where, as government, we're measuring what the private sector and the GFIs are approving in terms of home loans to affordable and poor households, because it's particularly important, and you'll see that at that interview, there were 3,522. I'm going to go through some of the other points which I think are important, but I'll take this as read for purposes of time to ensure that as committee we can be properly interrogated. And question this. Okay, you'll see that we've given under this slide, for example, the technical support programs and measurement of that, mechanisms and incentives to mobilize and increase private sector participation. The title deeds, I'll just pause on this one because this is also an important one. Not that the others are not. The title deeds issued to new homeowners in the subsidy market. The target is that by 2019, the title deeds backlog must be eradicated. The performance for this financial year is that 25,264 title deeds have been issued by provincial departments. Now, at a later stage, you'll see that the delivery of houses was 143. Okay. So there's a lag, and we're increasing the title deeds backlog. So we've delivered 143, but in relation to the performance up until 31st of December, there was only 25,000. And at a later stage, Chair, with your permission, and I can easily will come back to you on proposal that we put forward as a department and action that we're taking in relation to this. This gives us an indication that the EAAB, together with NHBRC, And this is about the management of all our entities, but also in terms of the enrollment. So you'll see under particularly the NHPRC, 110 projects were enrolled in the NHPRC, and 29,687 houses certified as completed. In relation to the MNE system, we have got a land and special information system, and has been developed and incorporated to ensure human settlements, transport and related development functions are tracked. The multi-year development plans are action relation. In relation to that action is multi-year human settlements development plans are aligned with other sectors of department to increase coordination and collaboration in program delivery. The performance agreement of the National Minister was signed, that was done on the 17th of November. There are delivery agreements that are in the process of being signed between Minister together with the relevant departments, NECs and CEOs. Chair, that represents, that completes the outcome 8 progress and as indicated, I'm hoping that, or hoping that the portfolio committee will look at that and will get questions on that. Intergovernmental relations. Chair, we are, I'll just highlight some of the important points here. There's a red book, and that red book is basically the planning or the standards, minimum norms and standards in relation to when a settlement is planned. We are in the process of revising that, but there were certain changes that needed to be made in relation to that SLA, which we are undertaking, and, but work is on track in relation to that. Chair, that just gives you an indication of what we've done in relation to the intergovernmental relations, particularly support around urban settlements development, the multi-year housing development plans, the HSEG, as well as tenders that we've approved. We've also given some indication of assessments, as well as there is a memorandum of understanding that we've signed between the Department of Human Settlements and Statistics South Africa, to ensure that our data and our statistics are improved. We've undertaken and concluded an MOU with the Small Business Development Ministry and Department, and there's also a memorandum of understanding that we've concluded with Transnet. And then we've also, just for indication, and I think part of what we want you to demonstrate is that the Department, in a very intensive way, takes its intergovernmental relations, consultation, coordination, cooperation, quite seriously, and this includes with HODs, city managers, ministers, MECs, and mayors, through MINEC, through technical MINEC, through city budget forums, and through relevant technical groups. We also have an intersectoral collaboration implementation task team, and then just an indication of some of the stakeholder relations, the implementation of the youth brigade in KZN, and then partnerships with on alternative energy, the Governor Betty Awards, and the Each One Single One sponsorship. Chair, I know that the portfolio did receive a briefing on the UN Habitat preparations, as well as some of the other collaborations. I'll just go through some of these accreditation municipalities. The total number of accredited municipalities at level 1 is 9. The total number of municipalities accredited at level 2 is 19. So the total number of municipalities accredited at level 1 and 2 is 28. So that represents 75% of what the target is and set for the department. There is an assessment to evaluate the readiness of metros for assignment, and that is underway. As indicated, that assessment is linked to the assignment function. That just gives us an indication of the employment created as a result of the delivery of targeted sites for delivery under the, that. So that only represents for the fourth quarter. It doesn't represent the total comprehensive picture. The challenges, Chair, I'm going to, just in relation to the first one, various challenges weighing on to obtain provincial business plans by the 7th of December, and we did outline that with portfolio committee members. We presented the provincial and the national human settlements development plan, business plan, and the late adjustment of provincial allocations and a discrepancy in allocations issued by national and that of provincial, particularly resulted in the late approval. We did lay bare what the provincial plans were not addressing MTSS covers due to the unsigned delivery agreements and finalization of the provincial, and that is work in progress, and at an appropriate time we'll bring you some of the results of what we need to be able to do on that. We also have indicated the slow progress in the implementation of FLIS 5 provinces. And one of the reasons for that is the high level of indebtedness and poor credit record of potential applicants. So there's a linkage around that, but we're in the process of undertaking some of those. The coordinator of NASP in the new mining towns, and that forms part of the mining town strategy, and then also the data management, storage of in-house data, as well as the reflection of some of the ICT challenges that we've experienced. Again, we've indicated, and I think of particular importance here is the one-on-one sessions held in each province to ensure that business plans are reworked to be in line with the EMTSS and to ensure that corrected versions are submitted and were submitted. So you'll see for this financial year, and I think it's just the one thing, we've indicated that the delivery for last year was 143,000 sites and services. For this financial year, we've set it at 167. So that graph must for the next financial year go up, and that is the trend. And it's been a particularly, I won't use the word reserve, brutal exercise that we've undertaken, that there will be no downward revision of business plans by the department, and that has been the instruction that's been given to us by the minister, which we've accepted. I'll ask Mr. Mendes.
Thank you, sir. Slide is slide number 37, reflects the departmental allocation during the 2014-2015 financial year. It's an MTF allocation, so we noticed that for the year 2014-15, our allocation was 15.5 million. You'll also note that 97% of the allocation is made up of transfers to entities and grants which are transferred to provinces and public entities. This gives an indication of what transfers and what grants, actually the 97% of the allocation. You will notice that when you take all the transfers and then you take all the grants together, they make up 38.7 billion. This is the summary of the adjustment during the financial year. It gives an indication that when we started the year, we made an allocation of 3.5 billion. There were violent issues during the year, and from the red programs from program 1, as well as from program 4, further from program 2 and program 3 to program 1 and program 4. You will also note that the changes to the budget during the adjustment estimate were also due to the fact that the sanitation function was moved towards an implementation department, and 1.1 billion therefore shifted out of the department, resulting in an adjusted budget at the end of the fourth quarter of 29.4 billion. This just gives more information about the adjusted estimate and the changes of it. Next slide. This also gives more information on the violence during the adjusted estimate. 20 million was reallocated from the National Upgrading Support Program to HDA, so that HDA can assist the department in implementing that program in nine towns. Secondly, 4.5 million from savings and compensation of employees was used to fund shortages on the scholarship program. Thirdly, 1.1 million was transferred to the public sector and rehabilitated to that sector from the training program. That is in terms of the process which is required that we should transfer the stage of our compensation budget to the sector. 4 million was transferred to the Council for Science and Industrial Research. It has already indicated that there is a project already running to revise the record, and that amount was intended to keep that and get that work underway. An amount of 4 million was also allocated for outstanding stipends on the youth abused program, which the department is running with the NHPC. This gives an indication of the actual expenditure of the fourth quarter. It takes the expenditure and compares it to the projections for just the fourth quarter. You will notice that for the fourth quarter alone, the projections were that we spent 150 million, and the actual expenditure was 257,590, which indicated that we spent more than we projected at the beginning of the this is the expenditure of a branch, and it's the same expenditure but staged by branch. This is the annual expenditure for the year. The final allocation was 29.4 billion. Actual expenditure was 29.358 billion, leaving an amount of 59.3 million outstanding at the end of the fourth quarter. That's almost 100% expenditure, Chair. This is the same expenditure but split by programs, sorry, by branches from 1 to 6. But it still gives the same amount in total of expenditure. This changes a picture on the end of the financial year, at the end of the fourth quarter, in relation to transfers and subsidies. You will notice that at the end of the fourth quarter, we transferred all the grants to provinces and municipalities, as well as transfers to public entities. There was only an amount of 137,000, which was not claimed by those entities, the HDA, 81,000 rand, the national scheme, 57,000, the UN Habitat amount. I must indicate, Chair, that with respect to the UN Habitat, these are membership fees, which heavily depend on the fluctuation of the rent against the dollar. So when at the time when the payment is made, it depends on what the exchange rate. So at the end of the fourth quarter, the other amount was 1.2 million, 1.1 million transferred to against 1 million 208. So there was a difference of 900 rand. With regard to expenditure, that we should actually indicate the respect of the operational budget of the national department. There were areas where we understand the Department of Public Works under bill, and the planning was not something that was made immediately because the second issue here was understanding on the last program. This was highlighted by the AG as well. And you will remember in the future when you receive the audit outcomes of the department that this is the only issue AG is actually raising. And we underperformed on the NASP. And there was a delay in signing what's receivable and tremendous. There was a delay in completion of some projects due to the fact that some municipalities had delayed projects. And so all these delays led to an understanding on NASP. I must make sure that this is one of the challenges that the department has been grappling with and the underperformance of that program. With respect to the human development, development grant, this is the future having to send the money to the provinces, and this is just an indication of how the province performed on what was transferred to them. The total allocation was 17 billion. There were rollovers from the previous financial year of 289 million, giving a total of 17.3 billion. We transferred the whole amount, 17 billion. And provinces spent 16.9 million. There was an amount of 401 million, 169 left unspent. And in respect of those provinces, as shown, Gauteng did not spend 5.9 million. KwaZulu-Natal all spent by 3.2. And Limpopo underspent by 308 million. And Mpumalanga underspent by 70.3 million. In terms of percentage spending on the ground overall, at the end of the fourth quarter, they were sitting at 98%. And as you can see here, there are those few provinces which underspent Gauteng was sitting at 99% expenditure. Limpopo was sitting at 63%. Mpumalanga was sitting at 95%, except those provinces. Those provinces spent all the amount transferred. And these are the non-financial performance of provinces on the human settlement development grant. This slide is divided into four. The first column talks about the annual delivery targets. You will notice here that in terms of the targets, on the overall, in respect of sales price, the total target of 45,652, and in respect of top structures, there was a total target of 105,796, giving a total of 151,448. You also notice that in respect of the targets, the property did not plan to give us that during the previous financial year, and planned 3,082 units. And in respect of actual delivery, we look at the next three columns. In terms of sites, service sites delivered to one overall, we're sitting at 49,235, and top structures, we're sitting at 94,566, and when we add the two together, the total is 143,911. That compares to 151,448 target. We will notice here that in respect of the city sites, there was overperformance of 2,693, and in respect of total structures, there was a variance of 11,230, and on the overall, there is 5,587.
Put more emphasis on this slide, because this is where the problem arises. If you look at KZN toll structures, you will notice that KZN, I think you've already seen the budget, KZN has a lesser budget than Gauteng. But KZN has been about 3,000 housing opportunities in the last financial year. And Gauteng, a budget of about 5 billion mentioned this before, that if Kauteya is not performing the watershed of Chakras and Hamas Kuda, and again, if you look at this, the shared sites, this thing has 10,000 as a target, 10,000 sites as a target, and Kauteya is a target of Shadow Koshadu. And if you look at what was actually given by Kauteya in terms of sites, again, the numbers are very small. So we should be getting more numbers from Kauteya, because that's 80%, almost 80% of the budget is lying. And that creates problems for us. And again, you will notice that there are two colleges that have not performed in the last budget, it is Kauteya and Zimbabwe. And that is where we are concentrating our efforts so that we don't need to change the data in this kind of budget. Thank you. Thank you.
These are specific programs, which we try to follow up constantly. And the first one, you will notice in terms of what programs we plan to achieve, they set aside a total of 71,000,000, 71,000,000, and they plan to use that to deliver 1,101 units to fish. But when you look at the actual expenditures, you will notice that the actual unit is about 1,183, and the actual amount spent is 35,559. You notice that there are problems which did not deliver anything in the shape of this program. And you will also notice that in terms of the numbers, I keep my question for, and it is a challenge. Next slide. In respect of notification, the total amount which was set aside in terms of the business plans was 690,676,000, and they intend to attempt and rectify 7,440. And when you look at actual delivery, 7,879, and the actual amount spent is 757,587. You'll also notice here that there are promises where there is no indication of unity and delivered, but if money spent, how then, and Pumalanga is sent, and there is no indication of how many units they actually attended to, but there is an amount of money spent. These are some of the issues that we are following up on the promise. Next slide. In respect of the SDG, if a grant which is transferred to metros, the total allocation for the financial year was 10.2 billion. I must indicate here that in respect of this grant, the end of the fourth quarter, the end of March 2015, is not the end of the municipality's financial year. So it does not give a reflection of the whole year in respect of the municipality. It was the third quarter for them and it was our last quarter for us. When you look at the actual available funding, you will notice that there was a rollover from the previous financial year, totaling to 585 million, and you notice that there were metros which did not spend their whole allocation in the previous year. Bubble is 652,000, Mulao 72.7, Ekurhuleni 180, Swane 44, and Cape City of Cape Town 286,547 million, and that gives a total of 585,344. When you look at what was transferred by the end of the fourth quarter, it was 10.2 billion, which was the whole amount which was available. And at the end of that quarter, the metro spent 5.2 billion. And they were actually at that time still 48%, and they still had 51% to spend over and up to the end of the financial year. Our main concern here is the fact that they were left with one quarter to go, and they had 51% of the grant to use over the last quarter of the financial year. And this is this was our main concern as we went, as we got to the end of the function. My mother indicated that because of the situation, Lisa had to, in her last minute, had to actually speak directly to the address, to the mayor, to actually try and establish with them as to whether they would be in a position to spend. Next slide. This is an indication here of where the money went in terms of the USDG. The 10.8 million allocation, this is still an indication of how it was allocated. You will notice, for an example, Chair, that sanitation services received 16% of the allocation, water services received 15%, roads, stormwater, and transport received 20.6%, electrical received 8.9%, social services 7%, human settlements and function 3.2%, waste management 0.3%, economic development and planning 1.2%, and the top structures in respect of the allocation of some metrics 0.8%. This is just to give an indication as to where are the metrics spending the USDG and where does this money go. And this gives an indication of the actual expenditure as at the end of March. They spent 5.2, which as I've indicated was 48% of the allocation. Next slide. And this, the next five or six slides gives more information and metrics. I don't think I should go into them. They just give more information in terms of how much was spent by each metro in respect of its own allocation. This is BCM, and they had an allocation of 673 million. And at the end of the fourth quarter, which was the third quarter, they were sitting at 50.5%. Next slide. And this just gives an indication of at the end of that quarter, where did the money go? What did they use for? And as you can see, they give more information on what was the money in this one. I will not go through the details here. It will take us long. Next slide. This is Nelson Mandela Chair. They had an allocation of 828 million. Allocated as indicated, and at the end of the third quarter, they were sitting at 56.4%. I don't know, Chair, but I think maybe it will take a long time because of time. It will take a lot for me to actually go through all the details by metrics. But all the sites in
the don't have to, because we had an opportunity to look at these performances a few months ago. So just run. Okay. Maybe try to
thank you. I think we'll just then move to the next presentation, which gives information on the performance of the special court of the current financial year.
To host questions of clarity and then comment and discussion. I would not have. Yes, sir, Honorable Ghana?
Chair, looking at both presentations, I think it will make more sense for the next presentation to be done, because the question that will be asked here, some of it, the answers are in the other presentation. So to make sure that it fully covers the two pillars, I would suggest that the department present, because most of the issues are almost the same. Then we can answer, we can ask for the questions for the board.
That's a proposal that members, is that the sitting of the meeting? There's an indication that you are in agreement. And please note your comments and all your comments indicate to switch a presentation. So So that when we discuss, we don't have a problem, because there will be lots of information given to you. Thank you. Department, question?
Thank you, Chair. As per Chair, the format of the presentation is the same as the previous one. Chair, just in relation to the treatment of the outputs in terms of the APP, the performance, the overall achievement by the department is 23% out of 51 targets which were planned for the period under review. 22 targets were achieved, 29 targets were not achieved. If you look at the issues particularly relating to the expenditure, the variance, the amount spent, then the plan targets, the achievements, the variances, and the achievement of the targets, there was a big issue that we just need to highlight to the committee, is that if you take 2, which is human settlements delivery framework, you take 3, human settlements strategy and planning, and 4, the program management unit, that represents probably the engine room of what the department needs to undertake, particularly in relation to performance monitoring, strategy, planning, policy formulation, and a whole range of things. A particular issue that we need to draw to your attention is that in relation to some of the budgetary constraints, particularly on the operation and compensation of employees, as Mr. Bengal indicated, that's where the big vacancies sit. Hence, the performances are related to vacancies, and that's one of the issues that we've indicated, and we've cleared not only to appropriations committee, but also to national treasury to look at the ability for the national department, because if you ask the national department to ramp up its ability to hold provincial municipalities accountable for delivery, then there's going to be some there's going to have to be some sympathy with us, particularly in relation to improving our capacity and the ability to fill some of those vacancies. That just gives us an indication of the expenditure. So this is for the first quarter, and by and large in relation to this, this is pretty much under control, and there's an improved financial management, particularly given some of the issues that were during the previous financial year. Communication and outreach. I'll go through these, indicating just what some of the issues were, but I think we'll come back to the meat of some of the points that we've raised previously. The Ministry of Outreach, Jay, you'll see that there has been, and we've included what we've done through the Office of the Minister and Deputy Minister, and particularly in relation to some of the projects that's been undertaken there. Outcome page. Okay, this gives you, just in relation to, as I've indicated, remember, what will happen now is that you have a picture up until the 31st of March 2015 in relation to outcome age reporting. So the targets, for example, the annual targets for the households provided with adequate housing and subsidy, the target was 120, the target reached was 80% of the annual. So we missed that target by 20%. If you look at the target in relation to improving the housing conditions for households living in informal settlements, the performance was 74,000, made up of 49,000 by provinces and 24,597 by municipalities. That represents 49.3% of the annual target. What we have asked the municipalities to come forward, particularly in reporting, is to provide us with what else does the USDG buy in relation to service points. So there's 5,791 water service points, and there's 10,997 service points, that's chemical toilets or communal efficient blocks in informal settlements. And it will give you an indication of just the performances in relation to the outcome 8. There's 3 that in our report to cabinet as well as the cabinet committee, that should be agreed. That's the informal settlements, the home loans, as well as the rental. So I'll just go to that one. Of particular importance in relation to the just trying to find that one shape. It's the one around affordable rental. There were 2,696 units delivered, out of a target of 4,000. The annual target was 9,400, we only managed to 2,696, which represents 50% of the target. And as the director of the acting DG and minister, what we can do is rather than present a verbal report, come back to the committee and say exactly what are the tasks and responsibilities that we're going to take in relation to that. But it's a hard decision. So I think maybe what we need to alert the portfolio that there will not be a nice set of officials at the national department in relation to this, particularly in relation to some of the issues that we raised or in the previous quarter around the underperformance and lack of meeting at the targets within specific provinces. Chair, I mean, a lot of what you said here is contained in the previous presentation, and I think of just important to request for the thousands of the committee is that the two important areas that we need to come back to you to present you with the recovery as well as the mitigation plan is the informal settlement upgrade, the rental housing and title deeds. You'll see, and I've stopped here, is that in relation to as of 31 March 2015, 59,029 title deeds have been issued by provincial departments in 2015-16, comprising 32,754 new title deeds for new developments and 26,279 for pre and post 1994. Of importance to note is that if you've delivered 143,000 sites and houses as indicated up until the 31st of March 2015, and you only issued 32,750 new title deeds, which means that for the last financial year, we actually increased the title deed backlog. So we increased it. And we've said to provinces this is an unacceptable. So the National Department, as the directive of the Acting DG, has now placed this as a special project within the department to resolve this issue. Because you know that title deed is one of those key platforms in terms of mandate of what we have to achieve up until 2019. But we can come back to you, and I think it's important that we put some confidence, or you put some confidence in us to be able to resolve this issue as the National Department. Chair, I mean, I just wanted to highlight that particular important aspect in relation to an issue. Chair, in relation to this informal settlement upgrade in civil PHP, we have the minister has in principle approved the PHP guidelines, and that will go to the technical information manual for approval, so that will give some traction to the PHP program. I think that the points that we've raised here, particularly in relation to recommendation solutions, are some of the issues that I indicated. Those three issues that we've raised, we'll come back to you, and we can do that in the next, as per the schedule, you can determine that as a committee. Chair, I'll spend you to Mr. Ming, because I think this represents some of the crux of some of the issues that we wanted to deal with.
Thank you, Chair. The current year allocation, Chair, as we know, it is 3.9 billion. Split among the four programs of the department, as you can see, that program 1 and getting closer to 5 million on a change program 4.3, program 3, 1.8, and program 4, 30.2 million. And at the end of the first quarter, the expenditure was sitting at 4.5 billion. And that includes all, everything, in other words, operational expenditure and transfers to corporate and municipalities. And this is the same size shape I've seen among branches of the department, administration, human settlement development, human settlement development frameworks, human settlement strategy and planning, program management unit, Office of the Chief Financial Officer, and Office of the Chief Operations Officer. This is the structure of the department. It's the same expenditure of 4.5 million. At the end of the first quarter, the change of the budget was shooting to 15% in terms of actual expenditure against the allocation. I must also indicate to you that, okay, I'll highlight this in the next slide, please. These are operational expenditures that are projections. What we have done here today is to tick off the grant and transfer payments and have the operational budget of the National Department. And I just want to highlight here the fact that the operational budget of the National Department is just 2% this financial year for the first time in history. And 2 years it has been spent 2% or more, slightly more. But for the first time, now 2%. This is just a reflection of just the 2% and how it will perform in terms of actual expenditure. You will notice here that in terms of the projection, the projection was to spend 170 million in respect of this quarter, and budget expenditure 124 million, taking us 70% in respect of the target, I mean the projections of the quarter. Next slide. These are transfers to provinces and other communities and municipalities. This is the 98% deal. And you will notice that the total amount is 3.2 billion. Grants amount to 3.8 billion. And at the end of the first quarter, we have transferred in respect of the Human Settlement Development Grant 4.2 billion. And in respect of the SDG, we have not yet transferred at the end of the first quarter because the first fund for municipalities is due a bit later. You'll notice also here that in respect of public entities, only two public entities have claimed their allocation. The Social Housing Regulatory Authority, they took 50% of their allocation. The HDA also claimed 52.3 million of their allocation. Other entities have not yet submitted their claims. And then in respect of the departmental transfers, you'll notice that in respect of the scholarship program, we spent 22 million. And UN Habitat, we had, we submitted 118 with a variance of 1.2. It's just, as I indicated, membership fees to the UN Habitat. Next slide. In respect of the Human Settlement Development Grant by provinces, up to the end of June, which is the end of the first quarter, we have transferred $17 million available. And you will notice here that move to next slide now. These are just the deliveries check. If you look at the targets, the same size amount to 43,014. The total shuttles amount to 106,496. The total deliveries is 146,800. In terms of the actual performance by provinces,
And my apologies, we have to attend this. Can you move to the next? No, next to the SDG. Yes, sir. If we have an assessment development grant, we have to go back to the HSDHM. If we have an assessment development grant and expenditure, the 2.2 million allocation, and this is a rollover from 1340, this is the previous financial year, a rollover of 1314 or 583, giving you a total available of 2.8 million. And this is the end of the third quarter. This is the end of the third quarter, not the fourth quarter. us. We can now resume. And let me give you that question.
Thank you, Chair. Let's first apologize for the mistake. There was a duplication slide. And I'm sure you will not have that on the screen. We duplicated the last quote of the score is corrected. In the printout document, it is correct. We checked the numbers are correct. We also want to first recommend that next time we split the outcome of detailed reporting from the linear reporting, because all of them require multiple. We report to cabinet on the outcomes. We have not reported, that's why we combine them now, but going forward, we would want to cabinet and split it so that we can focus on linear reporting separately and focus on the 5-year reporting separately. But the corrected mistake, thank you very much for having us to rectify that mistake.
Noted, and I think separating the reporting mechanism will actually be better going on. Then you can complete that.
Thank you, Chair. The human specimen development grant, the allocation is 18.2 billion for the current financial year. And at the end of the first quarter, we transferred 4.3 billion to provinces, and they spent 3.7 billion. There was 324 million remaining unspent in provinces, and they still have 14.4 billion to spend up to the end of the financial year. You'll notice here that in terms of the transferred amount, it's about 24%. So the plan was that by the end of the first quarter, they would have spent 24% of the allocation. And in terms of actual performance, they have spent 21% of the actual allocation. You'll also notice here that provinces performance vary from the overperformance and the underperformance. If you look at Eastern Cape, for example, they were sitting at 100% of what was transferred to them. If you look at Free State, they were sitting at 95%. If you look looking at Gauteng, they were sitting at 52%. And KZN, they were sitting at 91%. And you will notice that Limpopo, overspent and was sitting at 156%. And Mpumalanga was sitting at 84%, Northern Cape 93%, Northwest 112%, and Western Cape was sitting at 85%. But when you look at overall, the overall picture is 86% of the allocation, which was transferred to them. If you look at actual delivery, the first column is they talk to the annual delivery targets. In terms of service size, the overall annual delivery target is 63,866. Top structure total is 103,980, giving a total of 67,846. And when you look at actual performance by provinces in the first quarter, service sites delivered 6,703 and top structures delivered 21,761, giving a total of 28,464. And that gives you a variance of 57,000 in respect of sites and 82,000 in respect of top structures. When you look at the first, in terms of the actual programs as we follow them, the plan is, the promise in terms of the business plan, they have set aside 220 million and they are targeting 1,782 units or opportunities. And for the first quarter, they only achieved 188 and then they've spent 22,483. In terms of certification, they are targeting 6,893. And they have set aside 6.
Yes, I know the second CGT said that this line has the present ratios. And this
it makes it that difficult. Why is the appreciation that the airport is presenting? When the head they look at it, like, they are not in our reserve allowed that. I would like to propose that this aspect of things, we look at level like meeting. So for us to look at it now, we don't have it yet, and give proper questions to him would be doing it that way. On the handout that we have, and the document that was presented to us, this life is not there. This life is not there. The financials that are here are 15 months rather than the 3 months that we have requested for.
Numbers. Because there's a lot of numbers, we can't analyze the numbers in
wanted to raise your hand about the other.
Yeah, no, Chair, I think indeed I share the sentiments with Honorable Ghana. Because when you want to show off what you are dealing with, but in terms of what we are now given, it seems now to what is on the screen. So maybe because it's now available, we have it. I think if we can persuade other members that we allow the presentation to go through, we note. I think it's already easy to see which, things are not very good. So I don't think we must postpone it. I think we must just move.
Let me remind the department that it's always better to send documents earlier, 2 days before the meeting, because that enables our support team to go through them as well. They check if they find something that is not in line with what was expected, and they are able to alert you that there is this omission here, there is this error, there is this mistake here and there. But if they arrive late, well, I'm told the important things arrive late. So let's go back and sort this out. I'll allow you to proceed, and then members will discuss the transfer. So we all assist the extra copies. Honorable Stone.
I'm trying literally to align myself with this. This is the document that we received now. Even if you check the document, the one that is on the same one, the same. I think check then we have to do to okay with Kobo's horrible Ghana now that we have to post on this presentation. Actually in financial sector.
All members, have you compared these latest documents?
Yeah,
so I'm taking other members. Not the same. Okay, it's better to stop any particular problem because it will be easier to restart from that. Let's just stop on this problem. We note it. We'll continue with it in the next meeting, and then let's just have a discussion on the rest of the. A presentation that has been presented. Is that the yeah? Thank you.
I think it's always said that we bring a correct version of the document to a portfolio committee, and I take full responsibility for what has happened, and I'll make sure that it doesn't happen again. We'll correct it. Thanks.
Okay. Now we are discussing.
Look at the outcome of where the money is being spent. if you not be doing so, even our informal agreement agree, we are only at the end of the 2014-2015 financial year, we are at around 50%, 49%. And then the provision of subsidy houses, PNGs, we are at, I think, around 82 or 84% or 80%, depending on which figure you want to believe. And I just want to check with how this can, I understand the reasoning around how they not deliver, how they not deliver the unit, and doing so when it's getting the money, which is something that maybe people can get the proper reasoning to why, what is it that makes the number of houses that out there, or the kind of houses that out there build, cost more than, for example, what KZN built. Because if KZN can build a lot of houses with less money, it means how they is building houses that cost more. And I want to check then the second one, I remember here when we talked of taxes. One of the things that I said was that going forward, every PNG house or state subsidized house will have a taxes. And when I look at the performance, only 33% or a third of the completed PNG houses have been accompanied by a taxi. These are no houses. I'm not talking about the ones that were built several years. So it means every year that we build new PNG houses, we are getting to the backlog of taxis. Because we are not, in a way, clearing that aspect now. And the slide on notification. Just looking at that right one. Yeah. The price of the notification was as of the 31st of March. I cannot specify which case it is because it was not the case. But the heading on it is the delivery comment on other milestones. And I'm trying to check with all ones that have spent on the houses themselves. There are three provinces that are of particular concern. Free State continues to spend almost double the amount that costs to build a BNG house, to rectify house, and on average, because I'm the only thing that I can use is averages. But then I want to check with Limpopo and Western Cape whether the figures in here can be accurate, and how we verify that these figures are accurate, because Limpopo allegedly, or according to the report, they rectified 8 houses at the cost of 7 million rand. I'm not sure whether that figure can be correct. And the Western Cape has rectified 8 houses or 8 units at the cost of 3 million rand. How accurate is this line on the notification? Particularly on the two provinces, if I can add him in the Northern Cape, with 45,000 at the cost of 8 million. Are these correct figures, or where do these figures come from, if I can check with them? I think the other ones, my colleagues will deal with them, and just a disappointment that we couldn't deal with them for the performance function.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we should note court order and the attempt on first order. But generally speaking, from the court order, I think even the department is accepting that in terms of performance, things are really not moving accordingly. I think that from where she is, we need more assurance on what the department is going to do to remedy the situation, taking into account also the challenges that they have noted, because they have also indicated challenges. But we also need solutions
from Lehman, how fast can the solution be implemented. I think it should really help to go one by one, because almost all the programs, there are a lot of problems. So I think the department, to one point, you may even need the minister herself. Because even if you were to blame the provinces, to blame the municipalities, the department still has a responsibility to supervise. So we're not saying we're not noting what the department, the provincial department have done, but the national has a responsibility to supervise. I think from where I visit, that is what health portfolio, we must be clear that we not very happy with these two pieces of report, the fourth and first. We will not have at all. There's no justification because money is there. And well, indeed, when money is spent, but units are clean. Which means the priority, the targets are not really at yet. So generally, from where I sit, I think the department must be clear that we're not happy, the minister must be told we're not happy. Because our department is responsible to change the lives of the people of the poor. People who have nothing, they look upon this department. Now, you can't have big expenditure when there's a little trouble. I think generally speaking, let's say, that is what, if you go one program by program, you really have even more questions. When the figures now don't tally during presentation, it's also another problem. You see, it shows that indeed the department must go back. Senior must be, what I also like that you have always been here. You may be running out of capacity elsewhere, but at least there's not been a drastic change of the leadership. I see the same face that have always been here in us. So you must accept that we're not happy.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of, thank you for the presentation. I will focus on the best presentation. I'm covered in terms of the titles by my colleague, but just to add today, we need a robust strategy on how to address the issue of title disease. Because, as Honorable Ghana mentioned, that it's like we're increasing on top of the current block. So we need a very moving strategy in terms of that. But coming to the community outreach, it's very interesting to notice there that the community outreach that was mentioned, that was done by the Deputy Minister, in a way for me, I can come up to say it was in her constituency. And my question is, how do we identify these community outreach programs that the Deputy Minister, even the Minister sometimes, doesn't, and how much money is put aside for the current financial year, because it's very interesting. And then in terms of accreditation, you mentioned that you need accreditation with performance. And by the look of things, I mean, most of these metros, the performance is an issue. And now I'm very much interested to check, because apparently there is a draft strategy on the issue of assignment, that is what I meant by accreditation, assignment. So I'm not sure if as the portfolio committee currently have the access to that draft strategy to check this. Metros that the accreditation number is linked to the performance. And then in terms of capacity, I saw in the presentation that you mentioned quite a lot about the challenges you are facing. But when I look, the issue is the capacity. There's a serious problem of capacity in this department. You felt that everybody is acting here. It looks like there's no stability, even though everyone is the same, they're the very same people. But if you notice, everybody is acting, there seems to be a problem, because if you are unstable in terms of manpower, then there's no way that the performance can up or can improve. There was also one thing that interested me in terms of CSIR, the 4 million that has been transferred for human settlement planning and design. And apparently there's a red book according to that. I think it's very important that we get a red book and we analyze that 4 million.
exactly what is happening with that 4 million. And so the 20 million that has been transferred from NAS to HDA and into that the mining town. Just to add activity to say, we went to the oversight where these mining towns were or are. And to our surprise, this mining town that we put in lots of money, there's no priority in those areas. And that is also a proof, because some of the presentation, you check the money that is allocated in those mining towns, and then in terms of the deliver, get zero, zero, so nothing. So absolutely nothing is happening. So I'm very much interested to know what is the plan, what is this department going to do about it. But it, to me, it boils down to the fact that there's a capacity issue in this department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You spoke about a community outreach program. The rollout down in partnership with the municipality seem to be doing well on paper. But throughout the country, we see a lot of protests with regard to housing and other issues attached to that. What are the outcomes, maybe, of those particular outreach programs and maybe the provinces that you target, the areas that you targeted in the past? Because it seems as if there's no proper communication with communities regarding on outcome aid, especially the strategy for mine worker housing, it's evident that throughout the country, mine worker housing is not improving at all. So I'd like to know which mining areas are you targeting with regard to the strategy, and may just enlighten us as to what the strategy is. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I have not covered the question of the mining education exhibition, but there was a meeting the department was presenting, and the department was also worried, concerned about the performance of the provinces, especially housing, in terms of the delivery. And the department committed said that they are going to deal with the matter. They will report that to this committee. But even today, I still have a problem of the problems in terms of their performance. And I wanted to know why. Can Batman clarify or ask that? Did they ever deal with this problem? Every promise in that meeting. And it is not on yes. Can you clarify how far that was? Because for me, I see today, there was meeting today, the promises are not fulfilling according to our expectations. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. My first question will go to the issue of the delay when it comes to the government of goods and services. I'm not checking on the site because it looks like the municipality also plays a role in having these problems of projects getting delayed. What is the procedure on the guidelines that are following when it comes to the appointment of service providers or community agents, whatever led the municipality? Because if I can say a project for housing is advertised, you find that companies are invited to do the presentation. One will know that who takes the decision? Is this the supply chain management section, or it is the whole council? Because it's true that the number of projects are delayed because now there is that conversation between the councillors as well as the supply chain. So I just want to know the guidelines. How do you communicate with the province down to those municipalities to have the projects? Then the second one is the issue of the NASP. You are saying the reason for understanding is that there are delays in signing off several state level agreements. But you mentioned that there are some municipalities that are causing the delay of the project. I don't know whether it's possible maybe to give the picture which are those municipalities implicated in that delay. And the last one, the issue of the water and sanitation, you know that the Department of Water and Sanitation has the expertise and the capacity to deal with that. Now, on the other side, we have the human assessment taking the responsibility of their water points or sanitation points to deal with under you as an issue. Just thinking in your department, do you have the capacity or expertise? Because I believe when the sanitation was transferred to the Department of Water and Sanitation, so the staff had followed the function. But what is happening now in the department after the process where the staff followed the function? Who is now have the skills and expertise to ensure that if the money or allocation are sent to municipalities, but every department in human assessment will have expertise to monitor that the function is done accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you,
members.
In that order,
Mr. President, actually thank you very much for presentation. My two questions, first one is that during their presentation, when the minister was with us, when they were presenting about 100 days, they said in 2017 they are going to eradicate water uses, if I don't remember. But if you check the process that they are following and the program and the learning, that was going to be achieved. They say 2017 they are going to achieve the benefit. So I want to find out how far is that. The other question is the contestation of our accreditation from the provinces. Because there was that issue of contestation in the provinces and the municipalities and the electorates about this accreditation. How far is that resolving the issue of accreditation? And the other one question is that of the Congo. Really, I don't understand now because the issue of that province was discussed. And there were some promises from the department that they are going to look at it. But the issue was the planning. They don't have a plan for the facility that they mentioned about in Limpopo. So what is the planning? Because even now you see the Limpopo is failing and it's declining the safety track in Limpopo. The other interpretation is one there. The issue of backyard buildings. There's nothing that said about backyard buildings in your report. Do you have a plan for backyard buildings or do you have a plan? If you don't have a plan, what are the plans? The last one represents the participant get the outcome now, the implementation of the city catalyst project. Because we always talk about the city catalyst project, but the implementation of them are not in your report. And the last one to question is this one of on page 15. I don't know, political safety in fact the first position. Action plan, special target for mindfulness. How far is that plan of mindfulness? Because we did present the presentation of mindfulness. How far? Where how many houses have been delivered in those areas, in different areas.
Thank you, Chair. I have been in China in the last month. I'm a parish, I have covered. First one is that one what was mentioned. Linking of the performance with accreditation. I want to be comfortable there that it is possible that everyone of these networks or is between these institutions will be accredited. They agree without reservation sourcing, because that one I know that human beings don't want to link performance with animal care. And I'm sure that there are no challenges that they are going to bring up on this decision. And if they are there, how are we going to handle them? Number two, I also have a concern on that poor performance. I also want to check then that is it not possible that at some stage the targets were just too ambitious and not realistic when we check the physical limits of this performance. On the area of indebtedness of the first fleet applicants, I wonder whether you don't think that anything that can be changed or influenced, maybe whether in policy or experience, because those people who need the houses but now is accessed, but now there's a problem of indebtedness with the credit records. And the other one is on the these promises. There are three promises which have these rollovers, that is the Gauteng, the Congo, and the Mpumalanga. What I noticed there is that there was a rollover, but even the performance after the rollover shows non-performance again, which means which means that somehow one can argue that they didn't even deserve that rollover because they can't defend when you move forward. Now the last one. Now I would like the department to share with us honestly now. What is it that we think can be done? Because I do believe that we share together here the dissatisfaction with its performance in the provinces. But now what we have not been able to share is what is it that we think can be done? Because we know now that from the report of the last quarter report, that was in December, we have had 6 months up now, which means even if we are not technically, we will get there. We can see, we can know by now what are we doing, and therefore it tells me that something has to be done, and it appears to me that what we think should be done, something we should know about, so that we do not rely everything. When we ask next time, you say to them, no, but sir, you know, what's the report, we told you about it, like this. What did we do to change it?
Thank you. Thank you, members. Department for responses.
Thank you, Chair. We share the concerns of the members about the poor performance. I think if you were in the government meeting of last week, Minister's speech was very hard hitting about the fact that the numbers are going down. In 2009, we were sitting at 226,000 housing opportunities, and last year we delivered 143,000 housing opportunities. So that graph has been going down consistently. Our job is to turn that out, and I think that's the message that we want to communicate to the members. I've noted quite a number of questions. We'll try to be as specific as possible in this morning to those two questions. The first question is about comparing the financials with non-financials. That we seem to be standing in line, but we have zero results. We paused a little bit on the non-financial deliverables slide to demonstrate to you where we're supposed to be getting those numbers, where we're supposed to be getting the volumes. Greater than with a budget of over 3 million rands is giving us more than 83,000 is giving us 20,000 housing opportunities. What have we done? In Gauteng, the biggest challenge that we were faced with is the redirecting of the grants from the actual housing opportunities to emergency housing program. Remember, when you deal with emergency housing, you're not buying a new opportunity, you're fixing the existing one. So the whole story about the hailstorm, the asbestos, it took a substantial amount of the budget away from the housing opportunities that we're supposed to buy, which is why they ended up with 20,000 housing opportunities in the last financial year. But Caldera also used a substantial amount of the grants to pay for market infrastructure. We sat down with the HOD, the CFO, and we raised these questions, because if you use the HSDG grant for market infrastructure in Emerulin, when Emerulin didn't spend the USDG budget in the last financial year, it doesn't make sense to us. And these are the challenges that we're faced with. But the bigger challenge in Gauteng over the last 2 years is a management challenge. There's been a lot of changes happening. Within 2 years, they had three HODs. I'm not trying to put this forward as an excuse. We have to account for poor performance and explain later. We take full responsibility for performance there. We had three HODs. We had three senior managers of DTGs who have left Gauteng within the space of 2 years. And that created a lot of institutional changes, because some of the officials who are coming in now are not officials who are very experienced in housing or in human settlements. And they spent a lot of time studying the environment. And I think in the process, wrong decisions were made. We were all surprised when we saw that big commitment on the infrastructure grants, so on the market infrastructure, and also on the emergency housing program. When I met them, because we picked this up quickly last year, and we met with them, and we tried to find a way to phase the program over a three-year program, three-year period. Even if it has to be paid off, but you would want to phase over a long period instead of spending the bulk of the budget in 1 year on the emergency housing program. So we said, let's find a way to phase it, so that there is no effect on the non-financial targets that you have contracted to. But unfortunately, the horse is already bolted at the time when we met with them. There were contractual obligations, and they needed to honor those contractual obligations. And this takes me to the next question about the capacity of the development, because it's very important that the one who has to capacitate other spheres of government get capacitated first. Because you can't capacitate for the different municipalities if you're not capacitated yourself. I'm not the one who's going to sit here and pretend that this department has all the capacity in the world. We don't. We are very few. Our budget was cut by almost 6 million rands in 1 year in the last financial year. We spent a lot of time trying to find a way to fill the positions. The department, as we speak, we have about plus minus 101 vacant positions. And the challenge is how you fill them, because we've already reached the ceiling in terms of the compensation of employees, as if we are sitting between the rock and the hard piece of the treasure lesson. And the notions were running very high, because we're not getting any job in terms of support from the treasure. We lost the budget, $56. This is the budget that has to help us to buy the capacity that will make it possible for us to deploy officials to municipalities, to deploy officials to provinces. We made a presentation to the Senate Committee on Appropriations on the same issue, and we recommended that we need at least a minimum of 100 million rands immediately. Within the year, we need to do an in-year adjustment so that we are able to fill these positions and we are able to go get the expertise that we need. What this does, it forces us to go look into the market to close the gap. That's basically what it does. In other words, it forces us to utilize consultants, which is something that we didn't want to do, because we have to use the existing budget. Whether if the compensation of the employees' budget if reservation is filling and we can't fill some other position, then we have to use the good services budget, which in Shumla was meant to go out to the market and get expertise and consultants to help you to do the monitoring. We have to check out the monitoring and policies and principalities. But it's not just about monitoring, it's also about providing hands-on support to provinces and municipalities. We can't be content with telling them that they are doing wrong. We need to be able to provide hands-on support to them to get things done. And that's what asking us to do. But for us to be able to do that effectively, it means we must fill the positions. We must go get the capacity. We can't complain about capacity in year one, in year two, and in year three, we still lose capacity and excuse for not doing things. At some point, we need to make a decision as well. We're going to deal with some of the challenges. And we've taken that decision. A fortnight ago, we met as a department, myself, with the advisors from the minister, all the chief directors, and we took a decision to create what we call an operational world. And that operational world is in line with the new structure of the department that the minister has approved. Taking a decision to operationalize our operations, for instance, we will now have a chief director in the department responsible for region 1. That is contained, the state, and northwest. And in that region, you will have a provincial director who will make sure that the permanent agreements or the delivery figures that we are expecting from the state, the contained province, and northwest, those delivery figures are also the same delivery figures that we want to get from the regional directors. In other words, we want to close the gap between what national government development does and what provinces do. You want to make sure that we all read from the same page, and when decisions are made, we don't get told after all that causes are mounted, we've already appointed contractors for something that is not part of the policy, because there are significant deviations from the house policy, from the financial finance policy. Some of the things that were done are things that we wouldn't have encouraged to be done. Now, it's not in our nature to blame provinces or to blame municipalities. We want to take full responsibility for what has gone wrong. On the ratification, in the first case, there are two things that we're worried about. And again, we need time to correct this. We'll come back to the one way to respond to that question. I think we spent the last 2 months verifying all of these figures, doing what is called the actual verification of what the mind was. Whether it's rectification, informal settlements upgrading, or any other of the three pockets that we are managing. It's a time consuming and tedious exercise, but we have to do the right baseline to do that. We also picked up that some of the provinces are delivering a high spec. And you're delivering a higher spec, a 50 unit house, or whether it's a ready for spec or it's a new house, if you're delivering a 50 unit house, it would mean therefore that you have to pay more than what the quantum allows you to have to pay. And that pushes the numbers down as well, because if you deliver the higher specification of the house more than they allow you for this unit house, the rule is that you can do it, provided that you want to raise your own funds to top up. But what we picked up is that the 50 square meter house just delivers, but the grant fee is 100% of that 50 square meter house, which means that your numbers are going to be pushed down. And that's what we want to deal with. The delivery arrangement is a little bit problematic, again, because we account for everything that goes wrong in the sector. It's a national government of human settlements. The responsibility to appoint and contract with the authority developer lies with provinces and municipalities, so they have made that decision. And then we pick up later, which brings me to the question about supply chain. There are two areas of risk. Human settlements. And these are the areas that we want to pay more attention to. And that's why we created a pool of what we call the professional resource teams. Remember, in the built environment, or in human settlements in general, you have about 16 built environment specialists that you need to utilize to deliver a house. You have about 16 of them. So we created a pool of them, and most of them are consulting engineering companies. We created that pool because we want, in the short term, to be able to verify each and every one of the top 1,000 projects that we have throughout the country. Some all these projects are still moving, others are active projects, others are moving slowly for the last 5 years. So we want to make sure that we verify and make sure that we throw a line on some of them. Others are blocked projects. So we created this board to make sure that we manage this. Now, in all of our digital chain, if you look at it, digital chain, the challenge is in plan, I said there are two areas of risk. The first area is planning, because you have to plan for things before you appoint service providers to deliver on them. The first area is planning. A project that is delivered this year, a project that is going to run and be implemented this year, was packaged more than 2 years ago. It takes not less than 36 months to package the housing project. Because some of the timelines are statutory timelines. The planning approvals, they are statutory timelines. They're not going to short-track it. We have to stick to all of those timelines. The environmental approvals, EIDs and others, they are also statutory timelines. And we picked it up that most provinces are struggling with this. Take Limpopo as an example. Limpopo has been struggling in big time with procurement for a very long time, for the last 3.5 years. We then decided this year, because the question was, what did we do about it? In this current financial year, in fact, starting from the last quarter of the last financial year, we seconded one of our officials, Chief Director, Mr. Philip Chang, to assist the age of the year. He was in the Bopo as well, to see those challenges with procurement. Again, look at KZN and why KZN and the existing team are doing very well in terms of meeting their targets. It is because both provinces, over time, they have mastered the art of investing in planning, project pipeline, creating that pipeline of projects. You know, because if you want to implement projects in 2 years' time, it means you start today, you start this year to package those projects, take them through your planning approvals, environmental approvals. KZN and this team, they have mastered the art of pipelining. And that is why they are doing that. To see that Eastern Cape has exceeded the targets in the last financial year, and KZN has exceeded the 12,000 targets in the last financial year. They have mastered the art of planning, they have mastered the art of managing projects and going through the procurement process. In fact, in KZN, you will notice that they have regional implementing agencies. Then the question about the title deeds, or the question about the title deeds. The title deeds problem, if you look at title deeds, we comment that we did some study to understand why this program is performing badly. And it's been performing badly for some time, not only now post 1994, even pre-1994. The title deeds program is performing very well, especially for poor communities in the township. The study that we received for the report findings from Leders, Marx, and Simon. Stated here that in the manner we have first world conveyance arrangements, which is meant for first world citizens. Conveyance works very well for all of us who are being in suburbs, for all of us who are being in better areas, but it doesn't work well for communities in the townships. So this is what we're trying to retrofit. So using the word retrofit because it's been coming a long way. The latest figures that we have verified on the title deeds network is about plus minus 800. We'll give you the exact figure. My colleague, Lau Chin, is running the program. We have a structure in place. We have a national steering committee that is meeting regularly to discuss the title deeds program. We have provincial steering committees. We have qualified the backlog by province. Where we're struggling right now is finding the money to deal with the backlogs. Remember, in issuing and dealing with the title deeds, there isn't one challenge. There is a number of challenges that one has to deal with. For instance, some of the projects that were delivered in the past, there were no subdivisions. In other words, township establishments were not approved. We went ahead and we started building without following the entire process of lodging, subdivisions, approvals. So we retrofitted, in fact, there were areas where we were doting that some of the townships, you still have what is called the mother F, a subdivision. That is, if you have F number 25, the entire township that has been created, if you have a bigger F, you don't have subdivisions, but you need to have the number of Fs. And that has to be resolved. Number two, once you have done the subdivisions, you have to go identifying the beneficiary. Some of the beneficiaries have moved on. In some of the houses where we have issued the title deeds, you're talking about the third in the fourth generation of beneficiaries. Because people have moved on. They have sold the house in front, even though there was no title deed. Some people go to the police station and sign, give the house to sold. They sign a, what they call it, an option of it, to say, I'm selling this house to this particular buyer. That's the second part that we need to deal with. We're going to have to decide how we deal with that and where are those beneficiaries. Then the third part is the normal conveyance, which is the easiest part, because we can deal with that, get the professionals and conveyance attorneys to deal with that. The challenge is with the two. So we created the structure. We quantified the problem. We said it's going to, it will, we will need 1.6 billion rand to eradicate the backlog effectively. That's what we said in the national president, that we need plus minus 1.6 billion rand. Because the CFAS is not doing well, Fraser said to us, you will have to make it through with what we have, with your own application, which would mean we can ask Fraser to reinforce 1.6 billion rand from the 17 billion rand budget that we're managing, which would then mean that we forfeit 11,000 new housing opportunities. If we reinforce the existing budget, and it means we have to restructure the units down by 11,000, assuming that we are not going to get new money. We've been fighting this battle with Treasury to see we need additional allocation because most of these targets are not funded targets. They are unfunded targets. They keep coming back to us to say the economy is not doing well, the fiscal is not doing well. And we understand that the economy is growing at 2%, the fiscal is free. We understand that perfectly. So that's the decision that we have taken. We want to ask the portfolio committee to give us an opportunity to come and present our plan on how we are going to rescue the title of this program, how we are going to meet those targets, and what we are going to do over the next 3 years to make sure that we meet those targets. We are in the middle of the budget cycle right now, and we need some practical recommendations to present on our continuous. And we also need to hear ourselves up to deal with it. Came to us and said, can you please run with this program in national government? I just don't have capacity to deal with it. The HOD of the city came to us and said, the cabinet and said, please go find the capacity to run with this program. For me, I don't have the capacity to run with it. I want to focus on new housing opportunities. Where we are doing well in terms of the new title deed, it is only in the areas where you have turnkey developers. Turnkey means service provider is managing that project for managing everything from professional work to construction to development. But at the same time, those service providers are staying in that project for a longer period. A good example is the N223. If you look at the N223 project, you have an implementing agent there, you have a developer who has been there for a longer period. And we're sitting at almost 86% of the title deed, issuance of the title deed on the N223 because we have highly capacitated developers. But going forward, what we need to do to correct this is to align the frequency of the milestones. Because the title deed, the issuance of the title deed is the last item that you deal with when you have completed the house. And we feel that is creating a little bit of a problem. We ask the health policy to amend that frequency of the deed so that not you get started easily and you can issue a title deed. Even if you have a set site, you're going to have to wait for a top structure issue a title deed. So we're trying to find means and ways to deal with that. In this province, the decision was taken that a title deed must be issued within 3 months after the project is completed. But it's still starting to get another process. So all provinces are grappling with this particular target. I talked to the DG of Land Development to assist us to deal with this. So we do have a robust strategy on how we're going to deal with the title deeds program, and we want to give it an opportunity to come and present again. On the rental housing, the three programs that are performing, my colleague has mentioned all of them, is the title deeds program, the informal settlement upgrading, and affordable rental housing. These are the three programs that are performing this week. And these are all three, these three programs are in our MTSS targets, and we report on them to cabinet in terms of our cabinet. In the three of them, we have met with all the stakeholders, we've met with all the players, Firstly, we are a meeting with the social housing authority, we met with the parishes, we met with municipalities, we met with SHRs. We put all of them in one room and you ask one question, what is it that needs to be done to solve this problem? And they came up, all of them, the developers, they came up with practical solutions on how we are going to deal with this. Again, we got that, we can forward it to you still this week, and then you can call us some other time when it's finished. To come and present how we're going to turn things around in terms of rental house for affordable rental. We met with all the players. The opposition decisions that we have to make quickly in terms of affordable rental, there are issues around the indexing of the income, the issues about the income bands of the people that are targeting in terms of social housing. Those income bands have not been changed for the last 15 years. They have raised serious issues about the viability of the program. If we don't change the quantum as well, remember we changed the quantum for other programs, but we have not changed the quantum for social housing. So they told us the social housing position, they said, if you look at these four items, you will see the pipeline will be able to deliver the 27% of rental units that we need to deliver over the next 3 years. They made it very clear to us that this is what you need to do in the short term. But we also asked the provinces to give us a list of all the projects and the housing units that are ready. We asked them to give us just a list of all the projects that have gone through your planning approvals, projects that have gone through your environmental approvals, and we do have a pipeline of projects that can be implemented immediately. We just need to fix these four areas. And again, we can turn that and present that to the portfolio committee. We had a workshop last week, the last 3 weeks. Extremely abnormal for all of us, but then we had long sleepless nights moving around from one province to another province. And the intention is to make sure that we turn that graph around, the graph that Minister presented on Friday. And I think it's not insurmountable. We will be able to turn that graph around in current position. And there's a question about the registration. I think I've answered this. I think the only figures that look good in that graph is the Eastern Cape figures, with 5,000 units and 300 plus minus 300. The other figure is a very high number. We raised amongst ourselves as well. But we didn't want to hide it and not bring it here. We raised it and said we need to go project by project, unit by unit, and verify it. We raised it with the team last week from Free State, but it was the most valuable in the Free State. And I think the MOPA as well. We raised it with two teams. And we said we need to, we have technical amendment on Thursday, on Thursday, and there's amendment, I think, probably to be this Friday, it's not confirmed, but technical amendment is confirmed. And that's where we will be verifying all of these things with the agencies and the figures, and we want to hold them accountable. Accreditation, assignment of networks, it has to be about performance. It's not about keeping a shine that now we feel. We are only ordered to deliver some certain figures, we have a performance. If you look at all the metals, then it's likely to spend the 10 million range USD amount. In fact, it's been reduced precisely because of our performance. In the last financial year, combined the metals, underspent by about 500 million range, but the biggest poor performance in 2013-2014 financial year was ruling in the city of Cape Town. The ruling understand by 188 million, and the city of Cape Town understand by about 286 million. So what is happening is that networks have to demonstrate that they can perform. You can't be assigned the function if you have demonstrated poor performance consistently for the last year. So this means the framework, the accreditation framework, must talk to performance. And again, we seem to have changed things as well in the last financial year where all of a sudden, the inventory is shooting the 80% or 59% or 40%, and towards the end of the financial year, then the gap equals up to 9%. We call it a holistic approach. We want to deal with all of those challenges, but we will not be able to deal with them until we stabilize our own capacity of the department. There's a question about the stability and the capacity of the department. Right now, it's very big. As an accounting officer right now, I can confidently say that we have serious capacity challenges, again, a number of people working in the organization. It's not people who are geared towards managing programs and projects. If you look at the existing staff, it's people who are hired to deal with processes, back office processes. Now things have changed. The focus has to be on the projects. The focus has to be on the progress. The focus has to be on the numbers. But we have more people in the back office who are not hired to deal with program and project development. So we need to change that, and that's why we're regionalizing our operations. To get more people in the regions, to get relevant regional chief director to help us to hold offices accountable and party support to those offices that are not performing very well. And again, the quality of the HODs as well. There are new HODs in the structure. You can see the two HODs that are performing very well, Eastern Cape and KZN, they have been in the industry for a very long time, and they have mastered the art of learning and delivering. And if you look at all the other provinces, there's been something changing in some of those provinces. For instance, the Bob, you have an acting HOD. In Gauteng, the HOD in Gauteng only started in last financial year. If you look at other provinces as well, North Cape, there is no HOD there, so he has not concluded more than 2 years. So the challenge is that we still have HODs as well, but not really glued up with how to deliver the chain. But again, the intent is not to blame them, but to take full responsibility for this. And in terms of strategies, yesterday my team was in Marikana. Because that's the only area where you have visible construction of houses and various issues. You have more than 200 units not yet concluded in Marikana as a city right now. And in Marikana, the only challenge that we're faced with that has caused us to delay the processes is the stoppages. Some of the stoppages, threats of invasions, some production issues. But you can go there now in Marikana, you will find units completed. You will find units at all grade levels. You will find units at window pane level. The only one item that we need to deal with, which is a recommendation that we've made to Minister. But if we are going to accommodate the mine workers in Marikana assembly, the two things that we need to resolve immediately, because the workers there are asking that at least 80% of the render units must be given to them. And the question is, do they qualify? And the answer is no. Remember, all of them, all those mine workers, don't qualify for the PRD stock. Now, we then took a decision in consultation with DTME, in fact, my colleague right now, the discussion issue with the DTME minister on how we resolve the Marikana issue. This is taken by the office of the minister, was asked to attend as well. But they're asking, how do we deal with the Marikana question? How do we then get those mine workers who don't qualify to qualify? The recommendation that we put forward to minister for minister approval is that that program should not be called a CRU program, because it is not a CRU program. It should be called the mine worker rental housing program. And we've never done mine worker rental housing program in this country. We're doing it for the first time. We've never done it. So if we're doing it for the first time, then it has to be treated as a special program. It has to be treated as a pilot program. And it has to be treated as something that will be used to manage mine worker rental housing program in other areas. In all the other people who are in housing, so the mining towns. So we've taken that decision, and we've already presented it to the top management in the department on how we're going to deal with it, so that we don't get all the comments. We needed to create proper audit stream on how we're going to allocate housing in the mining towns for mine workers, not just for those who qualify for BFG. The land in Marikana was given to us, such more than 800 sites were given to us by loaning, as an extension to. The other part, which is extension five, I think it's more known extension five, which is about more than 155 hectares, will give us significant numbers, it's more than 6,000, but this age will give us 2,800, but we already have construction of more than 450 units as we speak. You can go there, I put my name on the block. If you go there to Rassenberg right now, you find units at various stages of completion. Others are already completed, waiting for NHLC to certify. But we discussed yesterday, my stakeholder team met with the representatives of the unions, they met with the officials from the provincial government and from the municipal government, we took a decision that we need to manage this project differently and put a foundation into this, and that decision was probably taken today by both ministers, the Minister of the PLE and Minister of Human Development. So something has happened in the other project. In other towns, we may be disappointed because of these with planning processes. We still manage the project in Greater Mutubaga. We deal with processes. In fact, if you go to the mining towns and you look at who is investing more right now, you will notice that it is the Department of Water and Strategy that is putting more money than any other development areas because they're helping us fund infrastructure, they're helping us with all the other bar challenges. Human settlement is doing well from the second contributor and mining towns. Human settlement, where the global challenges we see in Malaga, for instance, we've got some challenges. Again, we clear this. But all those challenges are for us to resolve. Who is responsible for supply chain management in municipalities? Is it council or the head of supply chain management? The accountability for appointing service providers in municipalities, in provinces, in national development lies with the county office. It is a DG in the National Department of Human Settlements or any department of government. Is the DG of the provincial departments, so the NEDs of the provincial departments, it is the city managers of the municipalities who are responsible for appointing service providers. There's no one else, because if things do go wrong in the process of appointing those service providers, it's only that accounting officer who must be held accountable, nobody else. What the accounting officer has to do is to appoint, make sure that the quality system is in place, as the PSMA and the Municipal Funding Management Act or Treasury Regulations. And the three committees that help the accounting officer to manage procurement. It is the Supply Chain Specification Committee, it's called the Specification Committee. The AODs or accounting officers need to appoint members of that committee. That committee's role is to make sure that every specification, the terms of reference, and will issue out to potential service providers, those kinds of reference are of quality. The second committee that the accounting officers must appoint is what is called the Bid Evaluation Committee. And that is the committee that needs to evaluate the score, or they need to score and evaluate what it is that they do an assessment of how the companies have responded to the specification of the terms of reference. And there's no one else who appoints those committees other than accounting office. That's why it's called the other system. It's called an accounting officer system. The last committee is called the Bid Adjudication Committee. And that committee's job is to make sure that they look at if the process was fair, transparent, and above board. They need to make sure that the entire process of appointing service providers was done properly. So it focuses on governance issues. Then that relation committee will then recommend to the accounting officer. According to Treasury, the Treasury's recommendation was that that committee needs to be chaired by the acting CFO. I have different views about that because the acting CFO's job is to advise the accounting officer. And the acting CFO's job needs to be able to argue against what the adjudication committee members are recommending or supporting. But it can't be a referee and the mayor in the adjudication committee. But Treasury has issued a practice note which says that CFOs have to chair the adjudication committee. I don't think it's a good standard practice. There was a question, other questions, I think they're more about, the homogenizing. If we are in a better position to turn the pitch around, if the department will be able to change this. Coming to the state of poor performance, there was a question about catalytic projects. We have two types of catalytic projects that we have appraised. One is the public sector catalytic projects submitted by provinces and municipalities. The second set is private sector catalytic projects that were submitted to us by private developers. We've done an assessment. My colleague Neville Cheney was chairing the assessment panel of the catalytic projects. A recommendation was made. But that final recommendation is going to minister after I signed it. The preliminary figure that we have is that there are 77 catalytic projects that have been recommended. And those 77 catalytic projects will give us over 5 year periods more than 1.5 million housing opportunities. 1.1 1.1 million housing opportunities. The majority of those are targeted projects in Gauteng. Most of them are in Gauteng for obvious reasons, because that's where the bulk of the budget is, that's where the bulk of the developers are operating. But again, we will come here and give you a full presentation. We don't want to prejudge the process. The process will only be concluded once Minister has signed on it. Minister has made a commitment that she would want to make an announcement of this catastrophe process in September. By next September, we will come back with the exact date. There is a developer's workshop that we have arranged, and Minister wants to make an announcement, a public announcement of that particular, of this catastrophe process. Assuming that we would have managed to come back to the portfolio committee with a list, a complete list, because we can't go back before we share with you the targets, because this is the FGS target. But that process will be concluded way before the deadline that Minister has given us. The deadline that Minister has given us is the 15th of September. We've discussed this with Treasury. We do have some difference of opinions between ourselves and Treasury on catalytic projects, but we're very convinced that if we are going to break away from traditional unsustainable delivery model of empty houses, the catalytic projects are giving us an opportunity to do that. Remember, the biggest criticism against human settlements is that we are deploying rows of houses in the periphery. And that is not helping the very few poor people that we want to help, because they spend 50% of their heart and energy commuting to areas of work. So if you look at these catalytic projects, most of them are major developments. Most of them. And then well-located areas. But again, we're working on the funding model with Treasury. We're working on the upstream mechanism, but they're saying to us, you can't upstream your catalytic projects and continue to deliver all the other projects. So you have to prioritize, because the budget is not going to grow. The fiscal is under pressure. So we have to scale down other projects and scale up on catalytic projects. But the good thing about catalytic projects is that these are basic types of development, and they will create sustainability in your spaces. What we also want to share with the portfolio committee is the world model that we've adopted and Minister has approved. And this is why we will inspire confidence, so that you get to see what is it that national development is going to do to tell the future. We will want to present that to you, and we can forward all of this information, and I'm hoping the colleagues have gotten all of these things done, and my colleagues are talking all of these things done. All these documents that we're talking about, we will make them available to you, we will send you them, and you can decide where we have to come back and present them to you. And again, we've been doing this to demonstrate that we've had we understand the urgency of the matter, and the picture has to turn around, because it's been going up consistently. Because of top performance in metros and provinces. I've asked a question about migrants, the backyard dwellers, how are we dealing with backyard dwellers? In most provinces and municipalities, you will find that, especially in metros, the USDG budget, when we deal with informal settlements of eating, we have avoid backyarders and informal dwellings outside the backyard. So we have avoid. You see in Kinderen, and you see it in here in this province as well, and also in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, that the USDG budget, Metro's work process, and can we utilize the USDG budget at least to provide basic services in the backyards and to formalize some of the structures in the backyards. For instance, some backyards, you will notice that there is only one toilet and servicing, so the new structures in the backyard. And that situation is not a good situation by any health standards. So we took a decision to allow metros to provide more services in the area. So we have brought an incremental approach. Before you get to the top touch, you can provide services in the backyard. The Kegwin Metro is doing it. Nelson Mandela Bay Metro has started that process as well. Cape Town Metro is doing it as well. And I think the two sites where they were piloting this. So metros are allowed to use USDG to provide basic services in the backyard before we get to the top action. The backyard policy will be presented to the Minister for approval. It has not been approved. We know that Shanga has come up with a strategy which was intended to guide municipalities on how to provide services in the backyard. We want to have a formal approach. Something 5 years ago, we piloted programs in Soweto, Zona, other areas, but there were challenges. And the question is about who do you issue the subsidy to? Because if you issue the subsidy to the landlord, it becomes a subsidy. You're paying twice the subsidy to the patients, who receive the EDDS. Remember, those are the subsidies. Some of the people who own them, they receive those subsidies through the EDDS programs. So we had those challenges, but hopefully the policy is going to address some of those challenges. Again, I've covered the question about electrification. We really want to come back to you. We're not thinking about this question. And the best way to answer that question is to ask at enterprise levels and move. We ask coaches to submit their projects when they have spent the money to us. And I think most of them are submitted. But we want to send our teams to do the application before we can give them us. We're not going to give them us an hour. I've talked about regionalizing our operations, that we have 3 regions now, and we have 3 regional chief directors. The first region is Gauteng, Free State, and Northwest. The second region is KLM, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. The third region is Northern Cape, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. So we have 3 regions, but you will have 9 provincial directors as well, and we'll talk about to focus on the performance of both provinces and the networks. I've noted about 29 questions. The one of this question of this. We spend some time on understanding this, and the two issues are as you wanted before. I am not convinced, and I think my colleagues are also not convinced, that provinces were geared to manage this particular program. We understand that it's not performing because of high levels of debt amongst the customers that were targeting. It's true that the majority of people who earn between 3,500 and 15,000 are highly indebted in the CSPs for itself. What we want to do, we want to create a proper institutional mechanism to handle this, to deal with this. Because we strongly believe that with the subsidies that we bring in, we are able to mitigate the risk. We are able to reduce the risk of, now we have to adhere with the National Credit Regulatory Act, and we don't lend recklessly to people who will not be able to service the loan. But my view is that if we can demonstrate to the private funders that their risks can be properly mitigated, and this is the part where we are not doing very well, because the banks have signed up with the department. They have signed up for banks, NetBank, Absa, Standard Bank, and SMB. They have signed up with NHSC to say, we want to work with you on this, but they still open you that the risk sharing is still very strict. And again, there's a second point about the preemptive rights clause, which has to be amended. Remember, there's an issue about the preemptive rights clause that we are not allowed to sell the house for at least 5 years now. And if you do, you sell it first to government. It's not preventing people from selling the house, they have an interest. The government has a first right of refusal. And the banks are saying, please, because we are taking a deal out of the banks, so the first right of refusal has to be with us and not with you, because we're giving more money. So we have to amend certain aspects of the act to accommodate them, and that will also reduce the risk. All of the things we presented to the minister, and there is a submission that is going to minister to see if we can't incentivize the banks. Again, we don't want to lend to people who will not be able to pay them the money back. And we want to manage the risk. Again, we also finalized the DFI so that we can achieve the economies of scale. We will have one single DFI. I tell you, it's taking a keen interest in the new model of our international DFI. I'm not sure if there are questions that I'd like to share. It was left about it is not divided. But I just thought that what you expect from us, because the center is not performing right now, is demonstration of confidence that we have mechanics in place to turn the picture around, and we're more than willing to come to you and demonstrate how they're going to turn the picture around. Today's session was just about delivering and presenting the feelers they are. We didn't want to cook them. nothing to see. This is the state of affairs. Quarter 4, quarter 1. Maybe the next question will be about how you're going to turn the picture around in commercial fitness upgrading, title needs, and affordable rental. Thank you very much.
Thank you, I noticed that you went to town explaining the developments in mining towns, and really, we had a presentation on this matter, so on each members, that whenever we change members, really, in our respective parties, we have some kind of handover process, so that the other member that is coming is equipped with the information. So it is to assist us in bringing. And I noticed that you went to come to the executive board that we have written at 12, with the minister of the care requested to. And I'll refuse you, and then the other members will remain of the department so that we conclude with them if they are anything. And I think the issue really has covered most of the questions, but I take note that and appreciate that you were upfront in terms of explaining where you are behind it in terms of delivery, but also upfront in making a commitment to come back to us on issues of informal settlement, of rental stock, of affordable rentals, and on site. But also we are trying to say to us in the manner that you are proceeding with the problem of SMEs, it creates a problem of adding into the backlog. That was you, department said that earlier. So we take note on those, and then as you make the commitment, we look at that, and then we progress, we'll see where we fit in. Other outstanding presentation and wanted to make a commitment. But also some documents are just for information. We might not require to come and make a presentation, but those that you require to do so will be unedited. But while I'm talking, you are allowed to move to the next meeting. And members, I would like to, on that note, before I close the meeting, to make an announcement as an information for both members and the department that next week we won't have a sitting of the TC because there's a training between the 25th to the 28th this month for all chairpersons of committees on communications, media and communication. And the only committees that will be allowed to sit are those that are dealing with the legislation and interviews for statutory appointments. Those are only committees. So, yes, then, and that note, on that note, let me thank the department and release them, and then the members will remain and deal with our needs. Thank you very much. Members, I hope you all have copies of the minutes and they were circulated to us prior to the meeting. Let me have the indication on page 1, members. Anything that you would like to amend? But mostly page 1 really are approaches. Let's move to page 2. And the attendance. Page 2. I don't see any indication. Page 3. Page 4. And on that note, members, I think we are done for the business of the day. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.